Welcome to Women Waken, a podcast that helps you heal spiritually from trauma in relationships, childhood, and early life conditioning to shift from a place of codependency into a divine feminine state of love, harmony, abundance, and joy. On Women Waken, we begin the journey to waken from the illusion of needing to prove our worth into the divine experience of knowing our worth. I'm your host, Whitney Walker. I'm a licensed mental health therapist, and I specialize in substance abuse, addiction, eating disorders, trauma, and spirituality. I'm also a fellow human being who has experienced most of the issues that I explore on this show. On today's guest episode, I welcome the fantastic Ray Leonard. Ray is the author of a wonderful book, High Sobriety, A Trip Out of the Bottle and Into Your Intuition. Just from that title, you can tell that her and I are kindred souls, both having gone through addictions and come out the other side, blossoming into our spirituality and our intuition and guidance. On this episode, Ray shares with us about her work as an intuitive guide and coach, her journey from drug abuse and addiction into this path of spiritual awakening and awareness, and how she now lives a life where she thrives and also traverses and explores the country as a rover like myself. So take a listen and enjoy. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the Women Waken podcast.
Hello, Whitney. Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be talking to you.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show, Ray. And it was such a pleasure and a delight to read your book. Ray, you are an author. You wrote the book, High Sobriety, A Trip Out of the Bottle and Into Your Intuition. We are soul sisters just based on that subtitle. I as well went through drug, alcohol abuse, addiction, and then into this rocket ship into my spiritual journey and down into my intuition. So I resonated so strongly. But Ray, what I loved about your book is it made me laugh. It was so raw and real and honest. I loved the tone. I loved the just bluntness of it. And it was just refreshing and fun. I laughed so many times, and we need that. You know, it's important to laugh, whether you're going through recovery or even on your spiritual journey. Sometimes it can feel a little too serious, like, okay, I have to always be zen and focused and at peace. But sometimes you just got to laugh at ridiculous things.
Absolutely. We're here to be happy. We're here for the joy. We're here for the laughter, and to not take any of it too seriously and hold things against ourselves, especially when alcohol and booze is mass marketed, mass produced, and socially acceptable and utter poison. That's the part we're not really taught.
It is. And it's one of those things that as you kind of begin, whether you call it your ascension, your opening of your consciousness, you start to see things in your world. And I often think that's not going to be a thing in the future. There's hundreds of years, maybe even less than that, we're going to say, oh my gosh, I can't believe people used to go sit in rooms and poison themselves multiple times a week. And this is not a criticism. Many people still find joy. They can drink normally, responsibly. That's everybody's choice. But for me, when I came to that realization, I just felt very grateful. As some people say, when they get sober, they'll call themselves a grateful alcoholic, whatever you want to say. But you just kind of realize, okay, I'm happier not to be desensitizing myself. And again, no criticism to those who enjoy it, but it just seemed like a strange pastime when you really think about it.
Yeah. And it creeps up on you. For many years, I kind of prided myself on, oh, I don't have an addictive personality. I can drink. I can take ecstasy. I can do cocaine. I can take heroin. I am too cool for school, and I can handle it all, until it finally caught up with me in my 40s and boom, bit me in the butt, and I was addicted. because you're playing with a highly addictive drug. So wonderful if you're choosing to partake in that. It's absolutely fine. It's not on the path to self-mastery. And that's what I think you're about, Whitney. And that's what I'm about now, finally, fully. You know, it took a while. So there's absolutely no judgment. It's just, this is where we are now. And this is why we're hanging out together.
This is why. So Ray, let's get on that path. Let's take us back to the beginning. You grew up in the 70s, a very interesting time in terms of people awakening, people wanting to shift society, but also still a lot of free drug use, free using, free sex, open sex, all exciting things, but can lead to, I think there was definitely less focus and talk about addiction, right? I don't think it was as acknowledged. So take us on your journey. What was it? It sounds like you kind of grew up in a household where there maybe wasn't as many rules and regulations. You're kind of free to do your own thing. Some of your excerpts from your book are hilarious, just about you coming and going and doing your thing. And I would just love to hear your perspective and to share with the audience your story, because everyone's story towards addiction, drug abuse is different. But yours is unique because you did it through this fascinating time in the 70s, 80s.
Yeah, well, I had a complicated childhood. My parents split when we were all very young, and I felt lost. You know, when their marriage broke up, they kind of went their separate ways. They were always kind to each other. It wasn't like one of those horrible situations where people were fighting. I'm grateful for that. Yet I was kind of lost in their shuffle for their own maturity and their own budding lives. I was a latchkey kid in the 70s in the East Village. I kind of raised myself. At the same time, I had friends whose parents had gurus who were, you know, worshiping the feet of their teachers with incense and chanting. And, you know, that was one school of friends. And then I had other friends who were children of artists and performance artists and the whole downtown scene in New York in the 70s and 80s. I was born with intuition, and that really kept me alive. Raising myself and looking after myself, I used my clairsenses to keep me safe. I can smell things. I would smell people who I could trust or not. I had kind of an instant instinct about who I was going to hang out with, whose house I was going to go to. It kept me whole and safe in that way. As I went to school, you know, New York City public school, and peer pressure came on, I kind of buried these superpowers or clairsenses that we all have. We all have these psychic abilities. They're just deadened by our society and by booze and drugs and peer pressure and indoctrination of school. So I clamped down on sharing my gifts, and I really became hardened and enamored with the surroundings, the club scene in New York and being super cool. And I did a lot of drugs, and I really lost my way. At some point, a friend of mine introduced me to Nam-myoho Renge Kyo and my Buddhist practice, and I was able to transform a lot of negativity and a lot of poison in my life into something that I could use, and I started to heal. I got married. I moved to the Hudson Valley with my family. I became a yoga teacher. And at the same time, the pressures of the nuclear unit of the family in our society, which is pretty closed, you know, it's the mother, the father, the children, and you're responsible for everything. I felt that I would have been better served in a community environment, in a more hippie communal living. I wanted that. Yet my husband wasn't down for that. So I felt a lot of stress, a lot of pressure as a mom, as a teacher. And I developed a pernicious wine habit. It was really at this point in my 40s that it all caught up with me. And there's stories in my book about this part. So I think there's a lot of women who could at least relate to, you know, different parts of my journey, but definitely this part about being a stressed out mom, drinking too much wine, and you know, taking that path and having the spirits take over my psyche and telling me that I needed more and more of that and not wanting to lose control of me, because I really feel that alcohol is called spirits for a reason. Al Ghul, the root of alcohol, comes from Arabic, and it actually comes from ghoul, which is flesh-eating demon. And I feel that your spirit, your soul, leaves when it gets too polluted and too poisoned, and the spirits come in and take your body for a joyride and do what they want. And this is what happens when you black out. That's why you can't remember, because you're not there. You're up there in the ether waiting for your body to become unpoisoned enough so that you can come back in. So I hit rock bottom, which was my rock bottom. I knew I couldn't go on. It wasn't that I needed to go to rehab or that I was living on the streets. It was just, I couldn't go on with the duality anymore of being a good person, about knowing that I wanted to take care of myself and knowing that I wasn't taking care of myself so extremely. And I was just done, but I did it slowly. I did it kind of in a sneaky manner. I snuck up on the ghouls, and I started listening to sober podcasts. I amped up my yoga practice, and I didn't announce, "I'm quitting booze and drugs. I'm done." I slowly built up my strength until one day I was able to just say, "Okay, I'm done. I'm going to be okay without this," and was able to let it go. When I did that, essential oils, Young Living essential oils, were in my hand in about 3 days. So as we know, when you shut a door, when you have that strength to shut a door, another one always opens, Whitney.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially when we shut that door to self-destruction, to treating ourselves poorly, to not respecting ourselves, when we end those behaviors, there's a door that opens that is aligned with the soul. Because just as you said, when we use our, and I've heard this too, they call it the silver cord, that when we are doing something within our being that is polluting, destructive, harmful, hurtful, our soul leaves. It says, "No, thank you. I don't want to be a part of this." And it drifts away. But when we cease those behaviors, it comes back into the body. And then you're going to see things that are more in line with the soul's path, right? Things that are healthy for you, things that are of benefit to you, things that are guiding you towards the next step of your evolution, which are always positive steps. Well, except for the steps that take you kind of through challenges, like the gritty steps of soul evolution that You know, which I will say, I think going into addiction is a part of that gritty path of the soul where you have to recognize the phrase I like a lot. You have to pass through what you're not to recognize who you are. And that for me is what addiction felt like. And I imagine for you as well, where you have this moment where, and because this was my moment at my rock bottom of addiction and substance abuse and an eating disorder, where I said, this is not who I am. This is, I don't want to be this person. I don't respect myself. I can't trust myself. I don't like myself. And that's an issue that I need to address. And I can't keep trying to bury it and drown it out with drugs and alcohol. And unfortunately, I think that's where a lot of people get with drug and alcohol use, is just trying to bury themselves and their feelings and their fears. So it's really, just as you said, I mean, whatever you want to call it, whether it's darker energy or entities, but things can enter into you when you're really, it's like a vacant house, right? When you're doing those behaviors, just like we said, your soul leaves and other things can come in, is kind of my understanding. And we want to get those out, and we want to be in alignment with ourselves, have a be a clear channel. It just feels better. And then those doors open. So Ray, you said that it started with essential oils. Now, how did that sort of shift your experience? How did that sort of get you onto the path of whatever, like maybe for your highest good, towards your higher self, your soul's path?
Well, I like to get high, and and there's lots of amazing tools and products and practices to get high. I mean, yogis get high. And when you are able to put a bunch of them together to really know yourself and try different things and are able to know what is going to uplift you, then you're high all day. I mean, I'm high all day. Sometimes in the morning, I've got to like get going. Maybe if I ate a little too much chocolate the day before or something, but I know my combinations. You know I drink 64 ounces of hot water with lemon, and it's molecular hydrogen water. And I use my essential oils, which actually open up the expression of our DNA, help it to unwind so that we can, I use a Healy device. So I bring in the quantum field and get the information field, which is the space in our subatomic particles, open up that space so that we can pump in good frequencies. And really, you got to do a lot of experimentation and find the things that work for you. And then I also love to help people. I'm an intuitive. So after I got back in touch with my intuitive gifts and my clair senses, I love to reach out to people and assist them and say, here, try this, try this, try this, and see how we can get a snowball of things that are going to keep you on a natural high going. And I'd love to, you know, really be part of the revolution of that natural highs.
Absolutely. And they are so much more enjoyable because they aren't what I would call conditional. I make the distinction a lot between unconditional versus conditional. Those things are unconditional is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if I said that. So the idea that for me, when we get caught up in drugs and alcohol, it's like a conditional contract that says you get to feel good. You're going to feel so good. And to me, this is the idea of the devil, right? I don't believe there's an actual devil, but it's anything that's this conditional contract that gives you what you want with a hook, right? With a catch to it. Oh, you're going to feel like $1 million. You're going to feel good through your body. You're going to feel beautiful, but it's only as long as that drug lasts. And then it's going to drop you as high as you climbed. But people will still keep playing that game. They'll still keep taking that ride over and over again. But when you discover those natural highs, they are not conditional. They're unconditional. There's no condition to them. It's just you aligning closer with who you really are, because that's getting you closer to aligning with the infinite energy of the universe, your infinite soul, which is in pure bliss all the time. And my belief is that that's what we return to. We're having this unique experience on Earth to know all the different facets of what source the whole of the universe is, right? By understanding duality, separation, individuality, which are illusions, yet they give us an experience of ourselves. But it doesn't mean that we're not still always on the path back towards that oneness. So these things that I consider unconditional highs are just giving you a tiny little taste of what is real. And it's, you don't need anything for it, right? I mean, yes, we can use essential oils. We can go for a run. We can align with things with sound healing and different aspects and means to do so. But it's not like a drug where it's literally saying this is a synthetic thing that's poisoning your body, but you get to feel this way. It's only for your highest good. It's only helping you grow and thrive. And then it's the most amazing thing you've ever felt, right? I think the best natural high you can ever have is to when you have heart openings, right? When you truly love someone or when you are helping somebody, that feeling of because you're connecting. It's like you become one.
Yeah, you got to like keep figure out how you're going to open your heart.
Yeah. And when you do, it's just it's such an expansive feeling and such great joy, because it's like a remembering of what you really are. It's like you're actually feeling for 1 second what you truly are. And that's so different than when you're high or drunk or any of those things, because that is a denser energy. It might feel good, but it's dense. And this is just pure lightness when you're in these natural highs.
Yeah, I like that. And I feel that it's slight energetic adjustments all day long and figuring out how to get out of your mind, how to say something more positive out of your mouth, how to do a little breath work. What are these tips and tricks that you can do that are going to bring you just a little bit of relief and then a little bit of joy? You know, how do you move through your day, moving up the emotional guidance scale? That's what Abraham calls it, which I love. I love the emotional guidance scale. Because people are, you know, can be so down and they just are clueless and they're in their cycle or they're somewhere in the middle. So I like to work with people, say, okay, where are you right now? How are we going to find a mantra for you that brings you relief? You're going to design it. Maybe we're going to do a little movement with it. But I like to intuit and figure out how I can help people just make a slight energetic adjustment so that they're moving up that guidance scale all day long. And then you become better and better at it. And you can start to do it yourself and figure out the little things that are going to make you feel better. You know, for me, it's twists. I like to do spinal adjustments. That really works for me. You have to really be the knower of you. And it takes time. It can take a teacher, it can take help. But the more time you're spending doing that and the less time you're spending beating yourself up and participating in things that are negative, you have to be ready, right, Whitney? We have to be ready.
Yeah. And I think that that's such an important message to put out there, because I know when I was in my drinking and using phase, there were days where I felt ready and I thought, I'm so over this. I'm so done. But I wasn't. But the thing that I look back at now is that every single one of those days added up cumulatively to the day where I finally decided I'm going to change. And, you know, our soul always shifts only when it's ready, because only then has it thoroughly gained an understanding of why it really wants something. And I think the soul has to really desire something in order to move into it. And it takes what it takes, right? As they say. And so I like to encourage this because it lets people know it's okay if you're still going through it. It's okay if you're not ready today, or if it doesn't happen. It will happen if you keep your North Star of, I know that what I'm working towards, I want liberation from fear. I want liberation from the self. I want to be in a place where I feel healthy and connected with people around me and with love. You can get there. But, you know, as you and I know, if you're deep in the matrix or the maze of life and addiction and all the messaging that we get, that we are not good enough, that we are not worthy on our own, that we're not of value unless X, Y, or Z, you got to take a breath and just hold that courage in your heart that says, I'm going to find my way out of this.
Yes.
And you listen to podcasts, right? Like you said, you listen to podcasts and read books about people who have found their way, and you can do it too. We all find our way eventually. There's no way for any soul to ever fully get lost, right?
Yes. And we're here for the contrast. You know, we're here for our butts to be scraping on the pavement so we know how good it feels when it doesn't. You know, that's why we come here. For the contrast, because when we're totally blissed out and in our most enlightened self, and we don't have any barriers around us, and we're not in these bodies, we get bored because we're like, this just, okay, this feels good and it feels good and it feels good. Does it feel good anymore? I'm not quite sure. I need to go down to earth and see what bad feels like. So I have a little comparison. And, you know, you don't have to take it so seriously. Like, it can just be, that's what it's about, the contrast. And I wouldn't trade any of my contrast because it brought me here.
Exactly. And I think it's so wonderful that more and more, there are more voices speaking to this point so that it can land on the ears of those who need to hear it, who can embrace the journey, embrace their path, yet have resources, have outlets, have connections that, again, help them through the path when it does feel real, right? Because the truth is that it's not real. We're always still that star up in the sky in perfection that wanted to take this grand adventure on earth, right? We're having this sojourn on earth that feels very real. And oh my gosh, the terror, the horror of it. But when we can connect with that remembrance, it keeps us going and saying, I chose this for a very important reason. I'm here for a very important reason, to gain a deeper wisdom and understanding in my evolution as a soul. And I know that no harm can truly come to me, no matter what atrocities I feel occur in this lifetime. It can't change the infinite perfection of who I am. Yet it can be hard to remember that when you're in the depths of it. So I think that that's why people having access to resources and others who can understand them is so important.
Yes. And that's exactly why I wrote the book, was here is my journey. Here's my resources.
And it's such a brilliant resource and it's so powerful. And I always applaud people who write a book because it's not a simple task. You have to formulate your thoughts and put your story together. And again, yours is so much fun and it's so lighthearted and it's inspiring and it has so many great recommendations. But it also talks about, and I want to touch on this, Ray, because this is a big part of your work. You've already spoken to being connected with your intuition from a young age. I imagine you didn't call it that, or maybe you did, but having a sense of people, recognizing that you realized as soon as you met somebody, whether you'd be friends or if you wanted nothing to do with them, that's our intuition. That's our clairs coming online. That's giving us unseen guidance that we don't know why, but we feel we want to follow it, that it's leading us on our way. And then you talk in your book about how they really come online once you got sober, once we, again, like, let go of the destructive poisoning habits. Can you share that with us? What was it? Do you look back and recognize that that was intuition, or did you know it at the time? And when did it really sort of take off for you?
I just had a strong I was claircognizant, was my strongest clair. I just knew, and no one was going to tell me. And I think that this is the gift my parents gave me, by leaving me to my own devices, was I had to just know, you know, I wasn't dependent on them to tell me which way to go or when to be home or something. So that came out as a survival instinct. So I'm very grateful for that. I just knew, and I knew what I had to get. I knew that I had to get some dinner that night. And, you know, if I was going to go home with this person and this person, that their mom was going to be a good cook and I was going to get a good dinner. And I knew that I should help them with the dishes so that I would be invited back again, or I knew that I should just hang out in their room so that, you know, their parents didn't even know I was there and maybe I'd sleep over. And then the next day they're like, you're still here. You know, just that knowing, definitely lost that and was just overtaken with the culture and what I thought I was supposed to be, more in the 80s and the music scene and the performance art scene. And then when I quit, they all came flooding in very quickly. I was dreaming of my spirit guides. I was connecting with them. Young Living Essential Oils brought in that aromatherapy, which is there's a very short path from your nostrils to your olfactory bulbs to the limbic region of your brain, which is where your emotions lie. Emotions, your energy in motion. So all of my clairsenses came in very quickly. And that was a clue for me too. I said, wow, they were right here. I really want to share this with people, how close you are to your to guides who really care, to unconditional love, to moving forward very quickly in your life with your goals and your dreams. I know it's not that common. And, you know, some people, they go to rehab and then they're in the halfway house and then they're struggling for years. And I really wanted to say, this journey can be as quick as we choose it to be. The faster that you get in touch with your clairsenses.
Absolutely. And it is such a gift of a system. It really truly becomes this sort of collaborative guidance. I mean, that's what, you know, clairs are. Because just as it is this mix of it's your own higher wisdom, but it's also, I pertain to the idea that we have guides, we have ancestors, we have people in the spirit realm who are cheering us on. Because just as we spoke of earlier, they know that we took on this very challenging task of coming into Earth. So, and they agreed. They said, we'll be there. We'll be there on the sidelines to help you, but we forget. But when you get online with them, and the more that you strengthen your clairs, it really is almost instantaneous that you get this guidance. You know, Ray, I was speaking to you. We're both fellow nomads. That's also something I'd love the audience to know, is that Ray is you call it a rover, as you refer to it. You have a main home in New York State, but you travel to follow the good weather, to follow, I'm guessing, where your guidance tells you is the best to be at a certain time.
Yes, I like to be in the warm weather in the winter. That's usually my clue, because a lot of the games that I play to get more in touch with my intuition, I play in nature, and I feel like my constitution is very sensitive to cold and that I get a little shut down. And so I like tepid. I don't like the sun completely shining on me in tropics, but I like to be able to relax outside, get in touch with nature, meaning listening for my spirit guides in the way of birds, leaves falling, branches falling, I connect the dots of clues, and not necessarily that I'm going to get the whole message right then, but I keep those channels open a lot. I like to keep those channels open so that I have a thought and then I'll hear a sound or there'll be a movement and I'll know that that's a confirmation. A lot of times it's birds. Birds are always there. I'll have a thought. I'll say, maybe I should do this. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, okay. I should definitely. Exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly. Exactly. And all of these resources are out there for all of us when we tune in. They're just right there. They just shut down because if you're not using them, if you're not talking to them, if you're not tuned into that radio station, they're like, eh, she's not listening. When you, all you have to do is start listening and then they're just right there for you.
Totally. I've mentioned before, it reminds me, did you ever see a movie called Heart and Soul from the 80s?
No.
With Robert Downey Jr. and these people die in a bus crash and then they have to look after him. Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't even remember it.
It's fun. And it's, they follow him through there. So it's basically the people who die on this bus, he was born from that accident because he was in his mother's belly. And then they're kind of assigned to be his guides. But for the first 20 years of his life, he doesn't hear them. So they're just sitting around like, we have nothing to do. And then finally one day he's like, what was that? And they're like, oh my gosh, he hears us. And I always share when I'm working with clients that that's what it's like. Your guides are waiting for you to take interest in them, to ask, please show me some guidance. I'm listening. I'm going to look out for a sign. And then they're like, oh boy. Okay. Here we go. We get to work with them now. And then just as you said, it'll happen really fast. And again, I was just sharing with you that as I travel, it's happened so much more quickly now that when I just moved to a place in upstate New York and I'm here for a 6-month lease and I was starting to feel like, okay, I like it here. Maybe I could stay. Immediately I got a confirmation that no, this is, you do enjoy your time here, but don't stay any longer. And I was like, okay, it wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it happened so quickly now. Whereas before I would meander and sort of, you know, wonder. Mm. But now, just as you said, like with your bird confirmation, we each have our own ways, right? I think our spirits around us also learn what form we're most aligned with to receive messages. For me, it's often the written word. I'll see a piece of paper on the ground that says, go now, or, you know, oh, give me a location, or I've found fortunes on the ground, just little things that I've always felt that's how I connect with my guides. They want to give me a billboard.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. But it really, it's remarkable that it's a beautiful thing to realize because it gives us the very important message that we are not alone. That's another one of the most devastating things that humans feel is the sense of being alone, that we're in this on our own, that we could very well end up in the abyss of loneliness and sadness and just left behind. It's not true. We're never alone. We're always surrounded by loving entities that want to help us. And so yes, that's why a voice like yours is so wonderful and valuable, so that people can be told and understand you too can access this. It's not a specific elite ability that only some people have. All of us have it inherently. It's a system. It's an innate system that we all have.
Yes. And another system are our dreams. And I can't tell you how many people I talk to and like, what'd you dream last night? I love to like provoke people a little bit. What'd you dream last night? And they're like, I don't know. I never remember my dreams. No idea. Oh, we dream all night long. And there's just so many clues. And the more that you remember your dreams, I keep a dream journal and I wake myself up when I kind of stir and I realize I had a dream, wake myself up, turn the light on. My journal's right there, write down the dream, everything I remember, every special shape and the clues. And my clues come in my dreams sometimes with music. If there's a sound or a music, or it'll be really, really crystal clear. Oh, this is a clue. And then I'll write that down, make a little drawing of it. the more that we use our dreams as a method to get in touch more with our guides, it happens in you're going to blur the line. Then in your day, you're going to see a shape that you saw in your dreams. Oh, I'm on the right path. What am I thinking about right now? I'm on the right path. There's something from my dream that's on the rail trail for me right there. The more that we connect all of these dots together, the more wisdom we'll have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they all are connected. It's like this big system that slowly starts to be lit up. We start to see the connections and we say, oh, I can move quicker. I can evolve faster. I can have a better quality of life and have more fun when I start seeing what is true.
And dimension skipping, you'll be leaving this 3D dimension that we're taught. This is all there is, just 3D, what you can see and feel and hear and taste, only that which everyone else can measure. When you get in touch with your guides, you skip to the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension, spend time with them, and you realize this 3D dimension doesn't have to get us down. It's not that important. It's just one little sliver of our existence. And that brings me so much relief. I love to like lay in a hammock and play the 5D treasure hunt where I slip into different dimensions. And then whatever is happening here in this third dimension, it's just not that important.
It's not. And that's such a beautiful revelation to have, because, you know, I think of that phrase that says most humans live lives of quiet desperation. And that's what life feels like when you believe that we're imprisoned by the five senses and that this is all there is, and that we just have to get up and show up and live life, you know, the 8 to 5 and work and feel unfulfilled in life. Yet that's not true at all. And that's what's exciting about this time. You said in your book, now I will struggle to find the page, but you mentioned how exciting of a time this is to be alive, because we are like a little bird that's pecking out of that box and saying, breaking out of the egg and saying, there's so much more. My favorite phrase is, we don't have to live this way. We don't have to. We created it. We created these limitations and this imprisonment. It's an illusion that we made. It's definitely not the limitations of life on this planet. And we're realizing that at a quickening pace. So it's a very exciting time, because we're going to see all kinds of shifts and transformations in the way we live that allows us to actually enjoy life and feel fulfilled and not feel more negative emotions rather than positive ones, which unfortunately is what I see. People who live lives that feel like a lot of have to's rather than, oh my gosh, I get to do this tomorrow and be excited for life. And that is coming. I truly believe that.
Oh yeah. And it's happening because we're hanging out together.
Yeah.
And you know, having these avenues and these ways of communicating and these ways of joining together and having groups and tribes, and bringing in more like-minded people who would like this life of joy and exuberance and highness.
Yes. Get high. The most beautiful way. I love it. Well, Ray, I'm excited to have you, to be in your tribe, to be creating a tribe together. So thankful to have you on my show. Ray, if people would like to find your book, if they would like to connect with you, how can they do so?
Oh, well, if you want to keep the conversation with me going, I would love that. You can send me a DM on Instagram at I am Ray Leonard, IamRaeLeonard. That's I am Ray Leonard. Or you can check out my website. My books are there. You could work with me. I'm a frequency guided intuitive. My website is rayleonard.me, RaeLeonard.me. Please reach out. Say hi. I'd love to hear from you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Ray. Thank you for writing your book, High Sobriety. I encourage everyone to read it. It's so fun and such beautiful guidance and fantastic resources. And thank you for being you and sharing your journey.
Thank you, Whitney. Let me know when you're going to be in the neighborhood. Come over.
I will. Absolutely. Take care. That wraps up our episode for today. Thank you so much for listening to Women Waken. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with others and come back for more. If you'd like to connect with the Women Waken community, you can find us on Instagram at Women Waken. And if you follow Women Waken, you can get a free tarot card reading if you just send a DM. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and don't forget to let your unique light shine into this world.